Thank you. You may be seated. Jesus told the Samaritan woman that you Samaritans worship what you do not know. He says, we know what we worship. He says, he that worships God must worship God in spirit and in truth, for God is spirit. We've been talking the last few weeks about the nature of God. Is there a God? Who is he? What's he like? The answer to these questions, I think, you really think about it and really consider it, evoke wonder and praise. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then perhaps when you started your journey with him, there was an appetite, a zeal, a concentration, a focus on truth. Your desire, your thirst, your hunger to know truth was insatiable. But there comes a time in many of our lives that we quit being faithful. That joy or that desire to know truth begins to fade. We begin to start going through the motions if we're not careful. And many lose the wonder of worship as time passes. Many of us just come and go through the motions and go on with life. You come to church, you listen to a sermon, you greet a few people with some handshakes, you may have some fellowship and then a few smiles, and you go home. And that goes week after week after week. But when we come to God, this is why it's so important for what these young people have just done these last couple of years, to understand, when we come to God, we must come to God with a passion over anything else that we're passionate or concerned about. He said in James chapter 4, verse 8, come near to God, and he will come near to you. God doesn't play games. He's not going to have fellowship with that person who wants to do or wants to have nothing to do with him. But he says, if you will come near to God, God will come near to you. Wash your hands, he says, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Neutral you cannot be with God. You cannot love this one day, love him the next, and go on with double-mindedness. To know the one true God, however, is our glorious calling. Are you ready this morning to draw near to him? How can I know God? How can a person know God? Not know about him, but how can we know this God on an intimate level, like we do any other friend? How can we know him? Well, Jesus said, basically, there in John chapter 4, that we're worshipers. Mankind is made to worship something. You worship something, I worship something. All of us worship something. It might be people, it might be money, it might be prestige or power or influence. Hopefully it's God. Christians are worshipers. Our hope of eternal life, as I said a few moments ago, eternal life is that personal, intimate relationship with God. So our hope of eternal life is really an anticipation of an unhindered and an unadulterated worship of God. We prayed a few moments ago in our invocation prayer. We all prayed together, and we asked God to help us be loyal to him, to be steadfast, have a steadfast love, to be have a faithful love for him, to know him. That's what we prayed about. We evangelize the lost, ladies and gentlemen, to gather more worshipers to fill our ranks. And worship of Almighty God is at the heart of everything we are and everything we do. And worship is simply putting God first in everything. Many Christians today, many who proclaim Christ, have set their affections on the temporal things of this world. Things that will one day pass by. One day they will all be eliminated. Those things you cannot take with you into the next life. And they exchange their great privilege of knowing God, Creator God, Sovereign God. They exchange that great privilege for that which is mundane, that which is temporary, that which is meaningless. Here's what David said in Psalm 27:4. He says, one thing I ask of the Lord, This is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. True worshipers, those who worship him in spirit and in truth, as Jesus said, are passionate about God. They don't look at God casually, and they just don't treat him with irreverence. They don't put him at the perimeters of the life of their lives. He is their focus. They're passionate about God. And I know people can be passionate. We see it in sports every week. People get passionate about sports. And yet, some think that doctrinal precision, all of these things that you've been learning these last couple of years, many people think that doctrinal precision equates to emotional sterility. I mean, what I mean by that is that it's all dry and it's dead. It's just information. And I say to you, nothing could be further from the truth. Listen to David. One thing, Lord, I ask of you. I'm seeking with all of my heart that I may dwell in your presence, that I may just come and gaze on the beauty of the Lord. God was everything to David. God was his all in all. David knew what was important in life. There is no lack of passion in David's Psalms or his theology. It was impeccable. Just reading Psalm 27, you see that it wasn't dead orthodoxy. Worship, ladies and gentlemen, true, sincere worship is an overflow of a mind renewed by the truth of God. Cast in that light, delving into the truth of God's word becomes discovery rather than a lifeless study. You read the word of God so you can get to know God, not just to find some old dry historical facts. You want to know God. When you discover a great truth about God, you meditate on that truth. You mull it around in your mind like a cow chewing on her cud, over and over and over and over, until it captivates your whole thinking process. And that in turn will lead to worship as you praise the one who made you. So worship. Worship, what we're doing now, what you do throughout the week, is really the outcome of two of the simplest Christian disciplines, Bible study and prayer. You see, if a worship service is proper, it ought to motivate us, it ought to inspire us to draw closer to God. And so all through the week, we seek God. All through the week, we're in his word, we're in prayer, and we're just walking with God. And so we come back to church on Sunday, and we're just excited to be here because we're going to talk and we're going to learn about the one who made us. And that it just is a cycle. You come through the week, you're worshiping God, you come here on Sunday, you worship God, that inspires, you just go on a higher and higher level. It's not just worship, it's just not reserved for an hour on Sunday. It ought to be the pattern of our lives. You study the Bible. You read the Bible with the goal of discovering the wonders of God, knowing who this wonderful God is. And once you latch onto some great truth, you fill your mind with it, and you ponder it in prayer before Almighty God as you go through your day. Your inner man will respond with righteous affections that will fill you with joy and renew your zeal to serve others. Young people, don't let what you have learned these last 2 years just be facts and figures. Use them to get to know God. Because you see, to worship God, we must To know God, we must understand worship, but also to know God, we must return to worship. Two steps. Step one is repent. Repent is a change of mind, turning from the things that are important to us, turning to him and making him number one in our lives. Change of mind, which results in a change of direction. The failure to worship God in spirit and truth is not just some unfortunate lapse in spiritual enthusiasm. It's not an alternative. It's a sin. To love the Lord your God with all of your being is not the greatest suggestion in the law. You remember when the young man came to Jesus and he said, Dear Master, what's the greatest command in the law? Jesus said, the greatest command is to love the Lord God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. And the second is like unto it, to love your neighbor as yourself. He didn't say those were suggestions, weren't options, weren't alternatives. He said they were commands. So to love God with our entire being is commanded by the one who made us. So we do that by confessing our sins and clearing our conscience and preparing to worship God. Okay, how do we worship God acceptably? Well, one of the verses I read, if you look there on page 1873 of your pew Bible, Hebrews 10:22, let's draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, having our bodies washed with pure water. There's four checkpoints. This is our call to worship every week, every day. Number one, the first checkpoint is sincerity. We come to God with a sincere heart. It speaks of a genuine heart devoted to pursuing God. It's hypocritical, I think, to worship God when you're really apathetic or preoccupied with self. You just go through the motions. But drawing near to God with your whole heart is what he wants. A sincere heart, he says. Then there's fidelity. This is the second checkpoint. And that's to have a full assurance of faith. He says, draw near to God with a sincere heart and a full assurance of faith. In other words, the coming of Jesus Christ, when he came into this world, died on the cross for our sins, rose again, that put an end to ceremony and sacrifice and Old Testament forms and rituals. We're not saved or made right by a system of ritual or all of these things that we do, but because of what Jesus Christ did on the cross. Shed his blood for us, paid for our sins. That's how we can approach God. So it's fidelity, a loyalty to him. Thirdly, the third checkpoint is humility. Have our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. We're to come to God with the knowledge that we are unworthy to be in his presence, but the blood of Jesus shed for us on the cross is our only access. He said in John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. The only way we can get to God is through the shed blood and the resurrection of Jesus Christ, trusting him as our only way. So we have our hearts sprinkled from a guilty conscience. We come with humility, knowing absolutely desperately how much we need him. Fourth checkpoint is purity. Having our bodies washed with pure water. He's not talking about physical water there, but the washing by the water of the Word, the cleansing agency of the Word of God, the daily cleansing of God's Word, the process of sanctification, being set apart to God. You see, ferrets out sinful thoughts, exposes sinful behavior. So every time before worship, confess. We come to God every week or every time we meet with God with sincerity, fidelity, humility, and purity. Now, let me give you some questions very quickly. Here's some questions we can ask ourselves to prepare ourselves for worship. Number one, am I seeing God anew in the Word of God through discovery and meditation so I'm compelled to draw near to him? Do I think enough of God where I'm coming to him sincerely? Am I drawing near to him? I want to discover him. I want to meditate upon who he is, and that allows me to draw near. Secondly, am I being sincere? Is my heart fixed on him? Is it undivided? Thirdly, am I fully assured that only faith in Jesus Christ can bring me to God's throne, or do I have some other methodology? And fourthly, am I coming humbly, realizing that I can draw near only because of what Jesus Christ has done for me? And lastly, is there any sin in my life that I haven't dealt with? Any sin that I haven't confessed? Perhaps you're here this morning, you've never drawn near to God. Maybe you don't know Jesus as your Savior. Well, our prayer care workers will be available in the loft right after our services. You can talk to somebody, they can pray with you, show you how you can know Jesus Christ as your Savior. But for all of us, God has given his Son to redeem us so we can worship him. Our primary goal in life is to bring glory to God. Worship of God is the purpose you were created. So we're to live in the light of the wonders that we discover about the Word of God, about God in His Word. So as we read, as we study, as we go through our week this week, ask Him to teach you how to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I would guarantee you, that is a prayer. When somebody prays to God and said, Lord, help me know You, that's a prayer that God delights in answering, and He will answer. Bow your heads with me. What will you do with what you've heard here this morning? God wants our lives. That's why He sent Jesus to die for us. That's why He's given us a book that gives us His Word. And so I encourage you this morning. Is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life? If not, make Him your Lord. And after our services today, as I said, folks will be available to speak with you, to pray with you, to help answer any question, any burden that you may have. Lord, we ask You today to be with us, to bless, to have Your will and power in our lives. As now we go into our communion time with You, may You just speak to us, have Your way and Your will in our lives, and may You be glorified in us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.